Good afternoon and welcome to another installment of Food for Thought here on Siouxland Public Media. I'm your host, Adrian Colbeau, and today I have the pleasure of sitting down with a couple of guys that are doing some awesome things in the community. Aaron Lapointe, he's the Ag Business Manager for Ho-Chunk Farms, and also Brian Mathers, who is the Executive Director of Ho-Chunk Community Development Corporation. Welcome, guys.
Good afternoon.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so we got a lot of stuff to launch into, and I'm excited to do that. Real quick, before we do that, Aaron, talk a little bit about what Ho-Chunk Farms is as an entity and what you're doing in the community.
So Ho-Chunk Farms is a corporate farm, but we're owned by the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. And what we're doing, we're trying to start changing the dynamics of farming on our reservation. So we're actually starting to farm our own land there in Winnebago on the reservation. We're farming tribally owned land. We're farming tribal members' land as well. We're farming about 4,600 acres this year. We do conventional corn and soybeans. We're really pushing to start transitioning our lands into organic. So we have about 25% of our acre base is actually in either transition or certified organic through the USDA. Okay. And we do multiple projects in the community as well. So we're helping do Indian corn projects. We're helping to just kind of build awareness in the agriculture industry.
Sure.
And we're just looking to utilize our land just a little bit better.
And we'll launch into some of the things that you guys are doing in the community, some of those specific things. But I think it's good to kind of understand that Ho-Chunk is starting to farm.
Yep.
Right. Yes. And then Brian, your position. What are you doing in the with this organization?
Well, I direct the tribe's 501c3 nonprofit. Okay. It's a community development entity, and so traditionally we've been focused on housing projects, infrastructure, more bricks and mortar type things in the community. But part of community development is also about quality of life. Hmm. So we become involved very much in the food security, the food sovereignty initiative within the community, because we think that's an important part of that quality of life, is having healthy options for people there, maybe some economic opportunities associated with food production and things like that. So we're kind of a hub in the community for helping plan projects and seek funding, pull the partnerships together and things like that.
Sure. So at the root of this, the way these two things kind of come into play, the interplay of these, of the farming and of the community development, at the root of that is something that's need-based in the community.
Yes.
And so talk a little bit about that process of kind of understanding the need and then what you've done to kind of implement these projects that you're doing.
Yeah, the need is definitely for the availability of fresh food. So when we identified that problem, we start seeking alternatives to get those problems fixed. So that's what launched these collaborations of tribal entities to work together to find a solution. So by developing these projects, by doing all these different things, it all evolves into that one idea that we want for food security and food availability in our community.
Sure. One of the easiest ways to kind of get this word out and the thing that I think most people have an understanding of is a farmer's market. So you guys are going to be launching this initiative is going to be launching a farmer's market now on the Winnebago land.
That's right. We've had a new facility. It's an enclosed, well, it's not really enclosed. It's a big roof with open sides. And part of the building is enclosed, which will house the Tribal College's extension office eventually. But the farmer's market, we felt like we really needed a good location for that, a high visibility, high profile location to really get people interested in and excited about the opportunities that a farmer's market could bring to the community. So we did some fundraising. Ho-Chunk Inc. provided some funding for it and provided a lot. And the community partners have identified roles that they can play in developing and operating the farmers market. And we'll actually be launching that in about a month. They're finishing up the construction, so we don't have an exact date yet. But we'll be involved in vendor recruiting and promoting the farmers market events with the idea that we'll be opening it up yet this growing season and start people in there.
Great. Yeah. And it'll run on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
That's the plan now, that we'll run 1 to 6. So we'll do afternoons and evenings on Wednesdays and Saturdays, right from the facility in Winnebago.
Yeah. And one of the reasons for this farmers market is not only to bring food accessibility to our community, but we're trying to build entrepreneurs as well. Mm-hmm. We see the financial benefit of doing this. So if we can get our community members to start growing, then maybe we can start building entrepreneurs at our farmers market as well. So that's kind of another push that we have for our farmers market, is to get our community members to start thinking that way of kind of becoming entrepreneurs themselves.
Sure. Not just how this could impact them in their health in terms of having access to that food, but then how can they turn that around and potentially bring in some additional income to have more, even a larger community impact?
Yes, yep. Definitely.
Right.
Very cool. So on that note of individuals doing some farming, you've got a home gardening initiative as well as part of this.
That's right. Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
Yes, that was an initiative that we started 2 years ago. We actually distributed 120 raised garden beds to our community members. So we had 120 families growing in 2017. Wow. So for this 2018-2019 growing season, we distributed another 60 raised garden beds. So we're offering our resources to help these people to start kind of taking advantage of the opportunity that's going to arise with this farmers market. And like you said, the physical health part of it as well, the health benefits that they'll see from doing this as well.
Yeah. Supplementing some of those cheaper, less nutrient rich food for items that they might not have had access to before, but are very nutrient rich and can kind of help for ongoing health.
That's right. Like a lot of small rural communities, there might not be a full service grocery store. You might only have the options for highly processed, preserved, canned, frozen stuff. You know, so this will be an opportunity to bring some healthier options, some fresher options to the community through that.
What types of items are you seeing? Are you providing the seeds or the seedlings? Like, what types of items are being grown in these home gardens?
Yes, and it's a large group of people doing this as well. It's not just Ho-Chunk Farms. It's not just HCCDC. It's in collaboration with tons of different tribal entities. We have the college involved. We have our tribal health department involved. We have all of us working together for that one idea that we want done. So we give them the seeds, we give them the raised garden beds, we give them the soil. Our extension office is there as support to give them the information they need to grow. So we're trying our best to offer all of that. And one of our huge partners is through the St. Louis Zoo, Dr. Ed Spivak. He donates seeds to our community every year. So he's been our supplier for seed, and he sees the importance of it as well. So it is a huge collaborative effort that's going on in our community. And that is progress for our community.
And we have often on this program, I'll have people on from the Iowa State Extension. And so we hear that the extension tossed around. But you have your own extension associated with Little Priest.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, with Tribal College.
With the Tribal College there, yeah. And so that extension functions in a very similar way.
Yep, they'll be doing lots of public education and providing resources and support to anybody that wants to do growing or wants to learn about healthy living or, you know, all the things that Ag Extension traditionally gets involved with.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that we found out actually during our planning process that was interesting that came up that kind of spurred us to go in this home gardening thing was that like most of us, you know, there's been a couple of lost generations in growers. Everyone's grandparents maybe used to have a big home garden, but as people have become more urbanized or, you know, less sticking around during the summers or whatever, there's fewer people actually growing their own food. So, and part of a healthy diet is also becoming more closely affiliated and understanding with where your food comes from and being really connected to the source of your food and all that stuff. So even though, you know, if somebody gets a 4x8 raised bed, they're not going to meet all of their food needs with that, or probably produce a whole ton of produce that they'll be able to sell to supplement their income at the farmers market. But we thought it was important that people got involved with growing again, and there was just so much interest in that, you know, once we started having those discussions, that people really just kind of needed some help taking that first step. And our expectation is that people will grow a lot more food beyond what this Raise a Bed initiative does with them, and that it will generate interest in kids to pursue careers in that. Yeah. And will have a, you know, effect on not only having more healthy product available in the local food economy, but have people understand the relationship between food and health and all of those, you know, additional benefits that come with that.
Well, and from an education standpoint, kids that grow up eating vegetables obviously end up being healthier individuals. You're setting a better framework for that. But then they also, I think, as adults, they have a better appreciation for how valuable those mm-hmm. resources are. And so you kind of are creating this cycle.
Yep.
Right. And so talk a little bit about we're talking about some tradition and things that that Native Americans have grown in the past that are being brought back and some of those practices. You mentioned Indian corn earlier. Tell us a little bit about that. How is that traditionally produced?
So our Indian corn project is 2 years old now, and the whole reasoning that we started this whole project was because it was turning into a diminishing cultural practice. We only had about two or three producers in our community, and one of them was our Catholic church, and it was usually the older people in the community doing it too. So we wanted to educate them on how to do it. So Ho-Chunk Farms initiative behind this was to offer the ability to learn that tribal practice. So in 2017 in Winnebago, there was the two to three growers, about an acre. And then we started our project to kind of encourage people to start growing. We developed a seed bank. We're offering seed. We're offering our resources to get it done. And it turned into something big. Now in our community, today we have about 20 producers. We're raising about 15 to 20 acres of Indian corn now. Mm-hmm. So, and the whole reasoning behind that was really to revive that practice. And it is a cultural food that we use for ceremonies. So the supply for that was becoming scarce. So we've seen that as an opportunity to kind of build up that supply, and then also teach our kids, our younger generations, how it's actually done.
It's all done non-mechanized, right?
Yep. Yeah, no, we didn't mechanize any part of it. The whole process is done traditionally and organic. So even before we go out and plant, we have a tribal elder go out and put tobacco out and say a prayer, saying that praying for a good crop and the people that partake in the crop receive a blessing behind that. So that first step, we go out and we say a prayer, we put tobacco out, a tribal elder does, and then we plant it, we maintain it organically, and then we go out and harvest it by hand. We cook it over a fire. We don't use stoves or anything, and then we take it off by hand and we dry it out in the sun with no dryers. We're drying it on screens out in the sun, because that's how it's always been done hundreds of years ago. So we're not really doing it to develop a lot of product. We're doing it to teach a practice, teach the process, because it is a very complex process.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's very important to us too, as Winnebago people. Yeah, that's our.
It's the convergence of tradition and ceremony. Need and all the education and all these things and heritage and passing that on.
Identity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the convergence of all those things around food.
Yep. Yes.
And that's traditionally how all cultures gather together, is around food and around fire, and how beautiful that is. So one question that I have is, you know, if you're a non-native, and you're hearing all of this information today, and you're just excited like I am, what's the best way to get involved, and what's the best way to participate in this?
One thing I think people often forget is that Winnebago is only like 19 miles away from Sioux City. It's a really quick drive right down the highway. Uh-huh. So for sure, you know, we would love for people to come down and talk to us about if they're interested in being a vendor in the farmer's market. For sure, come down and participate in our farmer's market events and those days when they happen, which in addition to the food that we're talking about growing, there will be lots of traditional arts and crafts available there. Maybe some traditional forms of entertainment will be woven into some of those event days. So it'll really, and it's a gorgeous, brand new, nice facility. It'll really be a nice outing for people to come down if they haven't been to Winnebago before, to take a look at all the great stuff that's happening there and take part in that event.
Kind of a tourism opportunity, really,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
In terms of bringing some people to the community. And
And we've had non-native consultants and helpers and then this process along the way. Ed Spivak is one that you mentioned before that helped with some of the plants, and he has an interest particularly in pollinators that we've been working on things related to that. We've had some, the regenerative group that came in and provided some technical assistance for pieces of this.
Well, that's so interesting. One of the things that, we were kind of discussing earlier is... Aaron, how you got involved and how you, you know, your background, and I find that really fascinating. Talk a little bit about your background and how you got involved in this.
So my background, I was born and raised in Winnebago. I'm a tribal member there, but I did pursue my degree in agriculture from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So I graduated from there in 2016 with my bachelor's in agriculture engineering and agronomy. So that's kind of my profession or my educational background. But the whole reason I even went into that career field was because I seen the opportunity that our tribe had. Our largest asset is our land. We own about 60,000 acres altogether on our reservation, and we didn't farm any of it.
Wow.
So I seen that opportunity. I seen the ability for us to utilize it in a better way. And I also seen the lack of food security in our community as well. So that's what kind of pushed me to go into that career field. And I've kind of just ran with it. I've been with the company with Ho-Chunk Inc. for 3 years now. And we've grown a lot in the past 3 years. We've gone from just being conventional farmers to diversifying into different parts of the industry in organic farming and doing these Indian corn projects. We're doing the Bagel Grows projects. We're trying to not only be a farming entity, but also make a positive impact on our community in every way that we can.
Yeah.
So by giving back to them. So that's kind of my background and what kind of pushed me to go into this.
Well, it's really really cool to hear about land that previously was being leased. And so there was obviously a monetary benefit coming back to the tribe, but you're turning that around and providing food for the tribe and creating other programs and initiatives that are going to have a much bigger benefit than just giving someone money, right?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that Aaron has the opportunity to be a much better steward of the land, too, than outside entities that aren't as vested in the long-term health of the land. If they're just on a year-to-year lease, you know, they don't have the same... connection to it that Ho-Chunk Farms would have, and they're wanting to make sure that it's used in the most effective way, in a way that sustains it and enriches it and makes it available as a long-term resource.
Hmm. And you were talking earlier a little bit about kind of bookending each side of the property with organic. Talk about a bit about that and what type of produce is being grown on this property.
So we are, like I said in the beginning of this, we're trying to change the dynamics of farming on our reservation, and we're really pushing organics, and we're pushing organics closer to our community as well, so that we're not having those issues of herbicide drift and all these issues that people talk about. So we started raising these organic crops, and it kind of refers back to just being a good steward of the land and taking responsibility of how that land's going to be managed. So we actually grow organic alfalfa, we grow organic corn, we do organic wheat, we do organic oats. These are all things that we're doing. We're not only trying to affect the community positively by doing the organic farming, but we want to be able to offer those goods to our community as well. Yeah, we're transitioning, and we have organic acres of about 1,000. So,
wow.
We're really pushing into that, and we're only doing it at a feasible rate for our company because it is financially, it doesn't make sense to transition your entire farm organic at once. So,
sure.
We're slowly, incrementally getting to the point to where maybe one day we are 100% organic.
Wow.
But financially, we have to do that smart.
And by and large, the community feedback has been immense, right? Everyone is moving in the same direction.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, sometimes when you pull together a community group to talk about putting a plan together for an issue, you kind of have to pull teeth to get people to participate in this sort of long planning process. That was not the case at all with this. I mean, once we kind of put it out there that this, you know, we were going to start having some discussions about that, lots of really key stakeholders in the community became involved, tribal council members, the directors of tribal programs, some of the nonprofits and the faith community. It all kind of came together and really, really hung in there. And through that whole slog of putting together a comprehensive food security plan for the community and identifying these different potential projects that might come out of that, they've really stepped up to the plate and a lot of interest. Anything that we've asked for participation in from the community, they've either met or exceeded our whatever we could provide, you know. Yeah. So, and there's just lots of word of mouth excitement about this change that's happening to build a healthier local food system for people and all of the different health and entrepreneurial and social benefits that are anticipated to come out of this as we build it.
Well, obviously a lot going on in the back end of these projects, but the kind of the thing that is going to be most visible probably to the community is going to be the farmers market. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to get out there. And you said it's going to operate on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Right.
They're right off of Highway 77?
Right. Yep. As you're driving into Winnebago from Sioux City, it's off to your left in the Ho-Chunk Village development there. You can't miss it. It's a huge structure that'll have signage and stuff. Yeah, we did go big. So it'll be good.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys for coming on the program. Thank you. It's been Brian Mathers here, Executive Director of Ho-Chunk Community Development Corporation, and along with him, Aaron LaPointe, who is the Ag Business Manager for Ho-Chunk Farms, talking about the farmers market that is going to start happening next month on the Winnebago Reservation, and then some other initiatives for home gardening and things, exciting things that are happening there.
Well, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I look forward to checking back up with you guys here in a few months and see how this thing is all going down. So, all right. Well, for Food for Thought here on Siouxland Public Media, my name is Adrian Colbo. Tune in every Friday just a little bit after the news for another program. And until then, we will see you.